All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, you got it. You know where to go when you want the best show. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5, and now joined by the Mappers. The Mappers are joining the fray on 94.1 FM. We appreciate the Sports Mappers as well. Simulcasting till 4. Blitz will do the same till 7. So you have arrived. And if you've missed anything, why don't you head on over to ESPN975.com or podcastarena.com. Catch up on what you missed. There was plenty. And also, as we always remind you, just download the app, ESPN975.com again. And once you download the app, you can take us anywhere, everywhere, and there's nothing else to do but make sure you catch every bit of every shoe.
Get it.
Yeah.
Get it. A couple things. So real quick, I had to give a shout out. I'm sorry.
Shout out to Nick, who took a picture of the two of us to start this segment, and it looks like that I'm constipated and trying to pass.
My bad.
You look angry.
I was hoping he wouldn't notice.
I'm like, I think this is going to come out before the start of this segment. Oh, let's get a picture.
It does look like you're about to poop your pants. Why did you?
Hey, Nick got the picture.
I took three of them. That was the best one.
Jeez, wow. What's that saying about either one of us?
Really?
Barry's looking down. He's not even looking at Jeez.
I'm just like, this guy's over here trying to poop.
And I'm going, if I just lift one cheek, can I squeak this out so that mid-segment Barry knows, like, crapped on him?
I want to give a shout-out to Basker1914 on Instagram. He hit me up. He's like, dude, I went to Cowboys and Indians again last night. It never lets us down.
They're doing such a good job with their Instagram.
Doesn't it all look good?
Oh, my God. Now he's doing videos where he's pouring the gravy on top of the chicken fried chicken. It's amazing.
You start watching them, and then like you're like, why
he does all that good stuff, and he still has time to call and ridicule us on the show.
I'm watching the videos. I'm like, man, why are my pants down right now?
Looks like this peanut butter, huh?
So good.
I don't think it smells like peanut butter.
Good times. What is this? 49ers. This can't be good or accurate. Roto World Football on Twitter, according to Manny. He said, breaking news: Pac-Man Joel Berry and the producer Nick. 49ers bringing in Tom Savage to work out.
Oh, my God. What a disaster that's going
to
be.
So they've decided to give up, obviously. If you're bringing in Tom Savage, you have said forget it.
Rationally, if you're trying to figure out why they would do that, is that because Kyle Shanahan knows him from his days with the Texans?
Was he here?
I don't even know if their paths crossed.
Savage was a Bob thing, right? Or was he here under Coops?
I think he was here.
I would have to go back and look. My memory is horrible. So
yeah, I think he was here.
I can't even remember what I did yesterday, so I have no idea. But
you started. You did the lawn.
No, that starts tonight.
You whacked your weeds.
More than that. Couple of texts.
Broke the garden hoe.
Fourth round pick of the 2014 draft. So that's
he was here.
That was O'Brien's. Tenure, right?
That was O'Brien, so it wasn't Shanahan.
Okay.
Yeah, because O'Brien's been here for.
I meant O'Brien was here, but yeah, not. I guess
this
not.
Is his fifth year. Mm-hmm. He had 3 9-7s, right, and a 4-12.
I believe so.
Okay, so this will be his fifth year. So he was here about that.
That dude deserves an extension.
All right. I watched a quarter this season. That's all I could watch. The NFL is becoming unwatchable. It's still fun, but it's getting there. It's getting there pretty quickly.
I wasn't really that excited with it. I had more fun watching college football this week. I don't know what you guys.
Oh, man.
I had more fun watching college football, but he has a point.
Except the Aggie game. Man. But that Texas TCU game.
But wow. I finally got a pick right on AJ's.
Did you?
I think with that game.
Welcome to the club.
Watch AJ come on the air. I'm like, no, that idiot didn't pick right.
But I really need Tampa. I think I got Tampa in a point, and now they're favored by 2, so I'm in good shape.
Good. I picked the Patriots, too. I didn't expect the Lions to do what they did, but whatever.
I took the over in that game thinking that indoors, Stafford's going to be throwing it around. The Patriots' defense isn't good. What a crap that was for me.
Did y'all get your college game right?
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No?
I don't. I mean, for AJ's pick 'em?
Yeah.
I think I got my college. I got the NFL wrong. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 1-1. I got college right and pro wrong.
Well, if the Bucks cover tonight.
Shut the hell up.
Guess who's still undefeated, guys?
Yeah.
Hmm?
That's why you had that look on your face.
Of course it is.
I was wondering.
Hey, Barry, I wanted to ask you who you think has the mental edge. I get a little nervous on air. That was from Steelers fan Juan. I think the Bucks do. I think the Bucks. You look at Fitzpatrick coming out dressed in DeSean Jackson swag, and they're saying how he's the reason that they're undefeated. All he wanted to do was win three games. And then you look at the flip side and the turmoil that's going on inside of that Steelers locker room. I think there's no doubt that the Bucks have the edge. But these are all grown-ass men, and if anyone's going to get this team together and keep their head in the game, I think it's Mike Tomlin. I believe in Mike Tomlin. I think he's a fantastic football coach. But it just may be too much. I mean, you can only do so many things. You can't make the guys go out there and play. And if they've quit on themselves, because I don't know that anybody is necessarily quitting on Mike Tomlin, but I think they can quit on themselves. If you think about the fact that you've got offensive linemen calling out running backs and all the stuff, this is all internal between the players, it seems like.
Yeah, but
not all of it, but some of it.
And I think you're right to a certain extent. I think Bill Belichick is lucky in that he's never seen a culture to the point where no one's going to listen to him. And I think that's where Tomlin is. He's at that edge where absolutely no one's going to listen to him. Now, and if it gets to that point, I don't see how you can bounce back from that.
Well, Belichick will just get rid of them. If they're not listening, that's...
Well, but Nick...
Yeah, that's true.
But Nick does bring up an interesting point because you're right, and it gets into the whole player's coach. Because
isn't it funny to you guys that Tomlin is more of a hot seat than, let's say, Pete Carroll? Because no one's talking about Pete Carroll's job, you know? Everybody's talking about Tomlin because Le'Veon Bell, the holdout.
Is full, though. He's got like the best receiver in football, the best running back in football, a top five quarterback in football, whereas everybody kind of sees the Legion of Boom has been blown up and he doesn't have a whole lot to work with on offense. Obviously, the offensive line is less than stellar in Seattle. But the thing I was going to say is this is the fine line of being a player's coach. If you're a player's coach, and Pete Carroll's another example of this, when things are going good and you're a player's coach, you're everybody's best friend, you're the greatest dude in the world, we're all going to go to the media and say how great things are. But when you start getting things in the locker room and the Antonio Brown situations and the Bell situations and the linemen aren't happy situations, now it's like, are you going to survive this? And that's why you're on the hot seat, because Belichick, like you said, is the dictator that says, if you don't like it, get out. Whereas Tomlin's like, no, bro, it's not like that. We'll handle it behind closed doors. We don't need to tell you what's going on. And he's everybody's best friend, and then it blows up.
I just hate a divided locker room. I hate a bad culture, and I feel like very few coaches can bounce back from that. You know, Tomlin might be one of them. I feel like Belichick might be a guy that can do that. Greg Popovich in the NBA might be a guy that can do that. But with the whole Kawhi Leonard thing, I mean – did he handle that the best way? We don't know. I mean, I just think bad cultures, dude, you talk about a bad draft pick, that can set you back 2, 3, 4, 10 years behind. A bad culture can do the same.
Well, you mentioned Tomlin being on the hot seat, and I don't know if I necessarily agree with that because of the history in Pittsburgh. That's not an organization where you'll find a lot of coaches on the hot seat for many reasons.
No, they haven't fired a coach in forever.
It's not an organization that you know does a lot of knee jerk reactions. And I think if you've proven yourself there, then they give you some leeway. And let's face it, it's not his fault that his players are selfish. And I'm not blaming the players, by the way. When I say that, I'm saying that as a perspective that other people may have, because I think if you can get your money, you get your money. And if you're Bell and you want your money, go get your money, because this is a business. And if they don't like you, they'll cut you to save money. So more than any other sport, I've always said, I have no problem when guys like Le'Veon Bell do what they do. And go get your money. The NFL is chinchy, and they will keep their as much as they can, and that's as much as you let them.
It's an unwritten rule that players just don't talk about other players' money. But at the same time, my point, a dictator is always going to get a second chance, because from the public's perspective, he's doing everything to keep everybody in line. So when things get out of line, he's going to get a second chance. But a player's coach, when things start going bad, that's who they first look at, because now to use the McNair analogy, but I'm not even going to use it. But when it looks like the team is running the coaching staff and making decisions, that's when everybody starts clamoring for, you need new leadership. Remember when the Red Sox, when the players were supposedly eating chicken and drinking beer and kicking it in the clubhouse during games, and that was the end of Terry Francona? But Terry Francona was known as the guy that got results, was a winner, although a little bit of a player. He got another job. And he survived, and he shows that he's a hell of a manager. But Tomlin is the guy that, while things are great, Pete Carroll, when things are great, hey, it's the players doing it, but it's partly because the coach is great too. But the minute things start sliding, you need a disciplinarian in there. You need someone else.
By the way, ATX Hobo Girl said, Barry, wait, you think that D is going to stop Tampa Bay? No.
It's going to be a shootout, I think.
Why? No. Yeah.
She might have misheard you. But
I wouldn't say that. No, it's obvious they missed Ryan Shazier. Obvious. Somebody, Steelers fan Juan asked last week, what's the problem with the defense? It's because they missed Ryan Shazier.
And
no,
their secondary
I don't think
got
that defense.
Older.
Yeah, no. I think it's going to be a shootout, but I also didn't mind getting the points as Tampa. No, I think you might have misheard.
You know, and D-line, Casey Hayward, Hayward and T.J. Watt, look, they got a decent, serviceable, better-than-average offensive line in certain cases, but their secondary got old in a hurry, and they give up a boatload of points.
Yeah. Hey, I mentioned Basker 1914 on Instagram hitting me up about Cowboys and Indians. Man, and I want to thank all of you that have gotten back to me about Cowboys and Indians, and you're sending me pictures. And I encourage you on Instagram right now to go to CNI713 on Instagram or Facebook and check it out. If you haven't gone yet, go check out Cowboys and Indians and see what they offer. When I tell you that the food looks good and it tastes as good as it looks, I'm being serious. And that's why during a show like today, a listener will reach out and go, yep, you're right. It's that good. I think you're going to love this place, man. It's 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen is called that because it's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. So the menu's pretty diverse. You've got your options of getting that Southern comfort food. You can get a chicken fried steak, chicken fried chicken. They've got a Himalayan heat burger, which you should definitely put on your list of must-try burgers in the city of Houston. It's one of the best. And do it Tyler style and add that 65 sauce on the side, dip it in there while you're eating it. So good. Oh, and side note, you can get that as a slider. I mean, it's not on the menu, but just tell them Barry said you could get it as a slider. They'll make it for you. And those are really good, too. But then, you know, you can do the other side. You can get a chicken curry. You can get the lamb vindaloo. I had these skewers, these shish kebab things that were just, I don't even know what the hell they're called. So good, though. I was really surprised because that's not my style, but I'm always surprised when I eat at Cowboys and Indians because I don't think I'm going to like stuff, and then it's delicious, and I do like it. And if you're a beer connoisseur, you're a beer nerd, they've got a ton of options for you to choose from. Wine list is crazy good, too. TVs, full-service bar, everything you could want in a restaurant and more because the staff is great. Haas and Imran and their crew treat you like family. They come over and talk to you and hang out. And if you mention us, they'll make fun of me probably. And then they'll give you 20% off the non-quesadillas, which is a show favorite here. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. Like I said, go on Instagram, CNI713. Give them a follow and check them out. CNI713 on Facebook if you have questions about the menu. It's all right there for you. 1901 Taft in Midtown. Guys, make sure you take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the show continues to roll on. ESPN 97.5, SportsBet 94.1. It is The Usual Suspects. If you missed anything, stop on back to podcastarena.com or ESPN975.com. Click on the show title. Check the hours you missed. Lots of good stuff today. And, of course, every day as Barry, Nick, and I are here.
I want to get to this NCAA poll, get your thoughts on some of the movers and shakers and talk a little college football. But before we do that, I did make some notes that I wanted to share with you guys or just kind of have a quick discussion about. kind of, it's such a, it's been a weird season in the NFL so far. The Browns have checked all three boxes on the bingo card. So they're 1-1-1. And someone asked, when's the last time a 1-1-1 team made the playoffs? I have no idea. But the fact that they have a better winning percentage at 500 than the Patriots, Chargers, Texans, Cowboys, Falcons, and Niners is crazy.
And they've named, they did what we all knew they were going to do. They made Baker the starter.
Absolutely. Thank God. I thought he played well. I'm excited to see this kid play. Dolphins 3-0, two-game lead on the Patriots.
Shocking.
I'm just stunned by that.
You mentioned Tampa as or one of the teams you had in the bottom five. I had the Dolphins as a bottom five.
Did you? Yeah. Yeah, they weren't great. Teams that haven't lost yet, the Dolphins, mm-hmm. the Bucs, and the Rams. That's your three undefeated teams. One of these is not like the other. Actually, two of these isn't like the other.
Right.
Yeah, and that the Dolphins and the Rams, or the Dolphins and the Bucs, shouldn't be in the same category as the Rams.
No doubt.
Are the Rams the best team in football?
They look like it.
They do.
But interesting now. Here's the thing. It's going to be. That's why Nick, the Thursday night schedule is going to get a lot better. Because now you got Rams, Vikings. Vikings coming off that crap show that they put up against Buffalo. Rams coming into the game. Yes, they're at home without Peters, without Talib, without a lot of key guys. So it's going to be that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
And then the last one is teams that haven't. We talked about teams that haven't lost yet. Mm-hmm. Teams that haven't won yet. One of them plays tonight. So you have somebody's Steelers. O must go. Yeah. You got the undefeated Tampa Bay Bucks right. and the winless Pittsburgh Steelers. The other teams that haven't won yet a game yet in the NFL are the Cardinals, the Raiders, and the Texans.
Yep.
And again, I think one of those is not like the other. The Steelers being winless right. so far, if they go 0-2-1, that's weird.
Everything, but I mean, even if you look
it's at it's a crazy season so far.
Yeah. yeah.
You look at the AFC conference too. You look at the number one team in each one of those divisions. The only one I'm sold on is the Chiefs leading the AFC West. But yeah. you look at all the other teams leading their divisions in the AFC: the Dolphins, the Bengals, the Titans, which we're not quite sure about. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
The AFC is really unpredictable. And if the Steelers lose again, you're right.
Even from the Kansas City perspective, we're sold right now on the offense because we know how many weapons they have. But the defense, they just haven't had to really step up and stop anybody because they got such a powerful offense.
Yeah, only one team in the AFC has given up more points than the Chiefs, and that's the Chargers. So
there you go. That's going to be tested later on. And here's the other oddity when you're talking about the NFL season. The fact that normally when quarterbacks are drafted in the first round, they don't see the field immediately, and especially not all of them. But now you've got Darnold. Rosen was just named the starter with the Cardinals. Mayfield's named the starter with the Browns.
So, Allen will probably start.
Allen the starter with the Bills.
He went off. That hurdle
made
was
Bradford
crazy.
Look bad, right?
I didn't realize that kid was as athletic as he is.
God, big kid too.
Yeah, because of his size. But yeah, it's been interesting to see you're kind of you feel like you're watching a new crop of quarterbacks that are
shaping the league.
Some of these are going to be the face of the league. Some of them probably won't be around. But yeah, going forward, you feel like this might be the new ones. In fact, it would probably be a fun exercise. Maybe we'll do this tomorrow, give you guys time to think about it. But let's take all the rookie quarterbacks that are playing and figure out who they match up to. Because I know for me, first on the very first one that pops into my head that I would compare them to, or maybe you know link them to, would be like, all right, Baker Mayfield, Drew Brees. That would be the two, like
Patrick Mahomes, Brett Favre.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying current.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who would you link them up to? So that might be a fun exercise to figure out the present and then the future and who you expect them to turn into.
Be Juggalo Trey.
No.
In 2 years, Dak Prescott is going to be the quarterback of a different team because yes. Aaron Rodgers is going to quarterback the Cowboys.
He did do that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He extensive, like way too much time spent on it.
let's talk a little NCAA football. First of all, I'll because I always razz you, props to your Wisconsin Badgers moving up three more in the poll.
It was a good game. I still am not impressed with Hornibrook as a quarterback, but they did what they had to do on the road. Tough environment to play, as Ohio State has found out, Michigan State. Iowa is a very, very tough place to play, and they got a win. But again, they're not going to be in the discussion at the end of the year. They hope to be a top 10 team, but this kind of is the first hurdle. If they beat Penn State too, they should win their side and at least be in the Big Ten championship.
One idiot out there is still voting for Clemson as the number one team in the country.
God, if you watch that game against A&M and realize how talented Alabama is and how deep.
It's ridiculous. How do you do it wasn't that? Even close. But yeah, Bama has 60 of the 61 first place votes in first place. Georgia second, Clemson third, Ohio State fourth. LSU moved up another spot. They are now fifth in the country. Surprising, I think, some people. I'm sure
not for
the hardcores like Tracy are probably
we knew one it. Annoying fan, I would be all in on LSU.
I wonder who that is.
But I also think that overall, when you look, it's starting to solidify itself. When we started talking at the start of the year about the four teams that are going to be there at the end of the year,
yeah,
it's starting to really, the mucky waters are starting to clear up. Because let me think, Oklahoma had their hands full and had to go to overtime to beat Army. Yes. Now, Army and Navy are tough teams, as we've talked about in the past.
Ball control the hell out of you.
For because of the fact that they run the triple option. They run, you know, a very, very odd offensive system compared to the rest of the college football, and it's tough to prepare for. But they also execute to a T. They're disciplined, as we all know.
And when you're going out there and you're scoring in 2 minutes, and then Army gets the ball and scores but takes 9 minutes off the clock, it makes it a closer game. I mean, when you're each putting up a touchdown per quarter, but you're not getting a chance to do much more than that, it makes it a lot closer. And that's why run those, because you don't need the five-star, because they're never, you know, the armies of the world are never going to get five-star recruits. But if you have a system in place that allows you to be competitive on the field, this is why a lot of these teams went to the air raid offense, because it's like, you know, Texas of the world aren't getting five-star recruits, but they can get guys with some speed. They can spread out the offense, make it look like a 7-on-7 that a lot of these younger kids have played that maybe, you know, aren't blue chip recruits.
That's
gives
the
them
thing,
a chance.
And obviously you know how I feel about it. But Wisconsin and Iowa in that game the other night, Iowa has a five-star prospect defensive end because his dad went there. Otherwise, on both teams, neither team has had a five-star recruit in the last, I think, five-plus years, maybe longer.
Yeah.
And then you see how important that is when Wisconsin's been relevant for as long as they've been and one of the top five winningest programs over the last 5 years, and you go, God, and they do that without getting a single five-star.
Pretty good. They get plenty of O-line help. Cool.
Okay, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia?
What do you mean?
Who's the four teams right now that you see would be there at the end of the year?
I think it has to be those four teams.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
Right now or at the end of the year?
I'm saying at the end of the year, it looks like it would be one of the, but with conferences and everything else getting into play,
too. Well, I think, who'd you say?
I said Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State.
No, because I think Alabama and Georgia are going to be, one of them are they're going to play each other
in the SEC.
So I would go ahead and slide OU in there. Yeah. So I would have Oklahoma in there. LSU, the same thing, even though they're fifth and they're, you know, either Alabama or LSU is playing Georgia and one of those. Two of the three that are in the top five right now are going to have a loss. So they're not going
to
get to the playoffs.
Unless we get to what we happened last year.
And it's going to not be Alabama with a loss.
Unless we get to what we happened last year again, where Alabama.
Now, if OU loses, of course. Yeah, you could have two SEC teams.
Or Alabama goes in as the number one, goes into the SEC championship game number one and undefeated and then lose, but that's their only loss as opposed to everybody else.
If they lose 21-20 on a last second, you know.
Then they can still get in.
Miracle or something like that. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I could see Georgia not getting in because of a loss and Oklahoma representing the Big 12. And listen, there's some Pac-12. Did you happen to catch the Oregon-Stanford game?
Good game.
Wild.
Great comeback.
Yeah, wild. But I don't know if the Pac-12 has – I don't know if Washington is enough or Stanford is enough to represent the Pac-12.
You know why? Because the other competition UCLA,
Stanford should have lost.
Yeah, and UCLA and USC ain't what they thought they were going to be. So
Stanford should have lost to Oregon.
No doubt.
If Oregon coach does his job.
Yep.
So –
Well, we've got a half hour to go on the show. Simulcasting on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere. 30 minutes on the clock. It's the usual suspect.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final 30 minutes or so of The Usual Suspects, give or take, SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5. Lots to get to still in the final 30 minutes, but we've already covered some serious ground. We've obviously talked about football. We've talked about the Texans. And now Roger wants to get in here and kind of circle back a little bit on Houston's favorite football team. What's up, Roger?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I kind of went on a tangent on Friday talking about how bad the Texans were. And I guess the Coach Green, the late Coach Green, said they are who we thought they were. But they're going to have to do some things to make this a little better. First of all, I say they cash in their chips on Clowney ASAP while they still have something to get for him. Secondly, the culture. Oh, the culture. Man, it's not the culture, man. It's the coaching. It's the coaching. And it starts with that old dude that won't go away, man, the owner. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it sounds any better, but it's just not. It's the same. So, what I think they should do is erase everything. I mean, just clean the slate. I mean, take a loss and get some guys in there that know what they're doing. Because, I mean, it's obvious it's the coaching, man. It's just the offensive line is not as bad as what you think. It can get you some space for some yardage on the ground. So if it can do that, it can hold for a pass play or a play action pass. It's just a coaching. It's Pop Warner out there, man. And the guys and in this league that changes every other year. I mean, look what the Chiefs are doing. They're hitting on all cylinders, man. They're about to break records, and we're over stuck in, we're stuck doing the veer, man.
You got it, Roger. Hey, man, we appreciate the call. We kind of covered all that earlier in the show. And the big thing, too, is I don't think the offensive line is serviceable. Maybe he's talking about one or two plays, but unfortunately, teams call about 30 to 40 offensive
plays. Well, it goes back to what I brought up earlier. It's so weird that in the first half of these games, the offensive line plays like doo-doo. And in the second half, they come out. Alfred Blue runs the ball. They seem to be opening up holes. It's Jekyll and Hyde right now on this team. The offensive line looks great in the second half. Not great. Looks serviceable or good in the second half and horrible in the first. But everybody does. That's why the numbers that I gave you are what they are. They're putting up 6-7-6 and then giving up 6-7-6 in the second half. Like, it's just a tale of two teams.
Well, plus when you're playing from behind, you got to play faster. You got to get the ball out
quicker.
But the defense,
it doesn't explain the defense. It doesn't explain them being able to run the ball better in the second half. I don't know what it is, but they're better in the second half than they are in the first.
But a lot of teams are expecting you to go pass because you're playing from behind, so that when you do run the ball, there's a bigger hole there because they're basically got defensive personnel on the field to defend the pass.
And as far as I'm saying, I don't think it's about the culture. It's about the coaching staff. I disagree, because this is a culture. Somebody brought it up on Twitter that said, I think it was Pink Valkyrie. She said, do you blame Bob McNair and his insistence on having choir boys on this team? Yeah, I do.
In part.
I absolutely think that that's part of the problem. Is it the entire problem? No. But when you're drafting, that's part of the problem. When you're signing free agents or looking at free agents, if you have to take the best player on a list of free agents and cross them off the list because they smoke weed, that's a problem. That's a problem for your team, and that's a culture thing. That's you not valuing winning above a guy that smokes weed sometimes. Like, I'm not suggesting that you go out and sign a Greg Hardy, but I'm saying if Josh Gordon was available and he wasn't a complete head case other than the fact that he likes to get high, and you don't even take a look at that guy, or you won't sign Eric Reed because he kneels at halftime or at the start of a game or whatever, that's a culture thing. That's a cultural decision that the owner and the GM and the head coach are making in limiting their pool of potential draftees and free agents.
I agree.
So, do you want to talk a little Tiger?
I certainly do.
Josh Rapp didn't give me enough credit, and he gave me too much, because he said, talk about Tiger because Barry wouldn't understand. Here's the thing. Don't mistake me not understanding for not caring. because I don't care about golf unless Tiger's involved and doing well. And that's why it's great that he won. It's great that he's back because it means golf can be back now. People can care about golf. All these stars on the tour doing all these things while Tiger's been away for 5 years, and it golf still won't be as popular as if he goes on a run now and starts winning majors again.
Here's a lot of things why I like
it. Did you see the people following him?
It was amazing, right?
Unbelievable.
So we've heard stories before our time about Arnold Palmer and Arnie's Army. We've seen how our parents talk about Jack Nicklaus and the things he was able to do. We know everything about the legend of Michael Jordan and the fact that people wore the Air Jordans and the iconic Jumpman logo because of Michael, arguably the greatest of all time. But that's what even makes this even better. The fact that this guy, who meant so much to so many people that weren't even golf fans, a lot of them weren't even sports fans, but he crossed the lines. He transcended over just sports golf fans to sports fans to pop culture to being one of the most iconic figures in the world, aside from sports. And then when you talk about the fact that he had his spine fused, okay? You're lucky if you can tie your shoes and do certain things, but he even said himself, it's ridiculous that he's able to swing a golf club at the high rate of speed he swings it at with the swing speed and everything like that. And then factor all of that in and realize that a lot of people are saying, this is something I'm hanging on to because this is when I was in my heyday too. To see him do this and do it one more time, and hopefully it's not the final time. But the thing that everybody should have been amazed by, he won the tournament. That was big enough.
Well,
he
was the field
one
smaller,
shot
though?
From winning the FedEx Cup. So I had
That's
people
wild.
During the year that not only said I was crazy for saying he was going to win again, but saying he would never be relevant again.
Yeah.
Not only was he relevant, he almost got a $10 million bonus from the FedEx Cup if Justin Rose doesn't birdie 18, Tiger takes them both at the end of the year. That tells you what kind of year he had that no one thought he could do either. So it was amazing for a lot of reasons.
I had him counted out. I really did. I mean, when you look at the injury history and everything else he had gone through and the struggles to get back, I never thought he would have been right again because of what you said. When you go through an injury like that and you have the surgeries that he had, and it limits your mobility and your ability to be able to swing your natural swing, I just didn't see it happening. And, man, good for him. And I'm excited about that. That's great because now I can watch golf on a Sunday and care about it. Because otherwise, I don't know what it is. Golf to me isn't as exciting without Tiger. It's just not. And I feel like, because I'm not like a diehard golf fan. Like, I play. Mm-hmm. I'll watch the majors. But I'm not a diehard golfer, diehard golf fan. And I think that's what you need because I feel like more people are like me than you and when it comes to golf, right? People will watch it if Tiger's there, and it's good for the sport.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and you mentioned it, but if you didn't see it, go back and find it somewhere. People were actually through the bunkers, and he was
surrounded by security. There was a halo of security.
They had to go hand in hand to create a human fence around him. Yeah. And he was walking with McIlroy up 18, and McIlroy was kind of laughing at first and then turned around and was like, dude, I'm out. And he sprinted to get away from it because the masses just kept coming.
Yeah.
It was like a big anthill that just kept taking over more dirt.
It was insane. But good for him, man. And I can't imagine. And it was great to see his peers hugging him and high-fiving him afterwards. And I think that everyone in golf was rooting for this. Everyone associated with the game of golf, whether you're a hardcore golfer like you, whether you're a player out there on the tour, because they'll admit it. Our the game of golf is better, and it benefits all of us when Tiger is good.
Pots
because
are bigger,
there's more people interested.
Tournaments
in it.
Bring more money. Attendance is way up. Look at the ratings yesterday alone. If you don't think Tiger has an impact and a substantial impact over anybody else that plays the sport, and see the spike when Tiger was in it yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous what NBC got out of that yesterday. And the Ryder Cup, coincidentally, this week, 2 a.m.
Oh,
but see, watch, they're going to get ratings. It's going to be
now.
Interesting. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. For those of you who wanted to hear audio on the fans storming the course, this is what Tiger had to say.
I could hear it. I just didn't really see much. I was kind of looking forward, and I figured the security they would hold them back. When I got down to the golf ball, I looked back, and I think the left half of the fairway was covered, but not the right half. But the tournament wasn't over yet. You know, I still had a two-shot lead, but, you know, anything could still happen, and I still need to play the hole. And once I hit the ball in the bunker, I tried to miss it right at the flag. I was able to do that. And once I got the ball onto the green, then the tournament was over.
And the thing is, here's a guy that prides himself from a military background of being super tough. He got emotional, and he admitted it later in the press conference, too. Like, he was ready to cry several times, and then in some of the subsequent interviews he did, he actually let some tears out. You don't see that from him. You know what a big, meaningful moment it was because of how hard he had to work to get there.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I couldn't be happier for him or the sport or guys like you and Josh Rapp, and because it's a big deal for golfers. This is a big thing. This is Jordan coming back and winning.
And
not,
winning, right.
Not Jordan coming back and floundering. This is Jordan coming back in 45, wearing 45, and winning it all. So I may have to change my tune now about him never winning another major and just suck up that L, because I might have been wrong, because he looks to be on. If he's not all the way back, he looks to be on his way.
That means next year could be fun.
Oh, boy.
You know, if you just stay where you're at right now, and next year could be fun.
Yeah, for real. You know what else is fun? Eating good. Eating healthy. Dude, I'm looking at the Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen Instagram site. First of all, go follow them. CNI713 on Instagram. CNI713 on Facebook. Go give them a like. Go give them a follow on Instagram. That way you can figure out what the hell you're going to eat when you go there, because the menu is so big. There's so much stuff to eat. But I just pulled up a random one of their Instagram posts. Grilled shrimp on a Chipotle Cobb salad, house-made Chipotle ranch dressing. That sounds absolutely amazing. I didn't even know this existed. I have to have this now, because I think I've literally eaten just about everything on the menu at Cowboys and Indians except that, and I need to get that in my belly soon. But all the food is delicious. All the Indian food are recipes that have been passed down through Haas's family over the generations. He perfects them there in the kitchen, and then they give them to you, and you get some of the best butter chicken in Houston by, you know, a wide margin. So the lamb vindaloo is so good, but all of it's good, man. And they make it there in the kitchen, and they make it when you order it. Like the chicken fried steak that I had last time, it's not ready to go. Like, they make it from scratch, and the meat when they can is locally sourced. So you're getting good quality cuts of meat, and they're making it when you order it so that it tastes fresh and delicious. And that's just how they do it at Cowboys and Indians. And don't forget, they've got trivia night on Wednesday. So if you're looking for something to do in the Midtown area and some good food while you do it, get out there, have some fun, hang out, and tell Haas and those crew that I said hello when you're out there hanging out. A great wine list, a great beer list, a great menu. TVs everywhere to watch the game, so whether it's a football or it's a baseball game or whatever it is you want to watch, it's out there for you. And you can have it delivered. DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub will all bring Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen to your door. Just ask Pink Valkyrie. She's a listener. She hit me up one day. What should I have? I was like, get the butter chicken if you want Indian food. She got it. She loved it. I know you will too. One more time. It's 1901 Taft in Midtown. That's where they're located. That's the most important thing. 1901 Taft in Midtown. CNI713 on Facebook and Instagram. Guys, I've been telling you, but make sure you do it. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys in Indians Texas Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5. Blitz coming up after us. Top of the hour. They'll take you home till 7 o'clock. You do nothing, and you get the best in entertainment and sports. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday. It's been a fun show. It's flown by, covered a lot of ground. We're talking golf a little bit before we got to the last break. So we'll get Billy in here real quick to kind of wrap up the thought on the golf situation. What's up, Billy?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm just want to say, as a huge football guy and a huge golf guy at the same time, if I continue to watch the Texans play the way that they've been playing, I'm going to choose golf every Sunday if Tiger is even just playing the tournament, than watch the Texans just implode on themselves. I mean, NBC saw a rating spike of 206% And it was the highest rated tournament outside of the four majors this year. And it's the highest rated tour championship since this whole thing started back in 2007.
Crazy.
So, I mean, it's one of those things that it's going to draw. It didn't beat out the NFL, but it came pretty darn close. It was actually beating the three games that were being played at the time the Tiger finished the tournament.
Yeah, man. Appreciate the call, Billy. You're right, dude. It's look, if it wasn't my job to have to come in here and bitch about the Texans or give them kudos when they're playing well, I promise you, I wouldn't be watching them. This is a bad product. I mean, it's not. There's so much potential when you see Watson and Will Fuller can actually catch a ball, it looks like, and he doesn't have hands of stone like we thought. What was the wrestler, hands of stone? Was it Ron Garvey?
Roberto Duran was the boxer.
Well, there was a wrestler, too. There was a pro wrestler like Ron Garvey or something like that. I don't know.
Steve's brother.
But I wouldn't be – I don't think I would watch it. Yeah, Ronnie Garvin. And I wasn't a big I'm not a big golf guy, but I would probably switch over and not watch this product.
Just to wrap up the golf thought, I'm going to tell you how big this was. When Justin Rose birdied 18 to win the FedEx Cup by one stroke over Tiger, he started apologizing. And if you go back and look at it from the time he made the putt, he started going, "I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry." Even as in his acceptance speech, he started by apologizing because he said, "I know how many of you were pulling for one certain individual to make it, to add this to the comeback." That tells you when all the players are like, because they know if he's relevant, the pot money goes up. The sponsorship dollars go up, and they all get paid. So, yeah, that's why this was such a big day yesterday. But Josh Rapid shows why you got a screw loose. If you stood for the entire back nine,
you're weird.
Just flat out nuts.
That's weird. That's creepy.
Yeah.
Did you see this map of the top 10 Halloween candies? We do this every year, but they've updated it.
It's a little early.
Yeah, I know, but they've updated it. The America's top 10 Halloween candies.
Candy corn still sucks.
Candy corn still sucks. I'll go backwards. Number 10, Jolly Ranchers. Number 9.
What? Jolly Ranchers are still relevant? Who gives Jolly Ranchers for Halloween candy?
Why not? They're classics.
Oh, they're classics, but my mom and my grandma had them in bowls at the house, but you don't give them away as Halloween. It's kind of a cheap.
Jolly Ranchers really? Aren't bad.
They're not cheap.
I love them, but I don't think it's a lot cheaper than Jolly Ranchers. Yeah, candy, you're looking for something better.
And you don't have to worry about razor blades and all that stuff because they're, yeah. Number 9, Tootsie Pops. What?
Who?
Tootsie Pops.
I'm not a big fan of them, but I don't think it should be up there in terms of
the
worst candy.
You're a blow pop guy, aren't you?
I knew it.
Number 8, Hershey's.
Oh, come on.
Just plain
Who
ass
made this
missionary position Hershey's. That's such an old lady candy.
Yeah, that should be in a bowl at my grandma's house.
If Werther's is on this list, then we know that it was made by a 90-year-old man or something. All right, number 7, hot tamales.
Where'd you get this crap?
That's from the website.
No, this is from thecandystore.com, and it was mentioned on Bro Bible.
Okay.
Hot tamales. Is that like the Mike and Ikes?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Number 6, candy corn.
Oh, jeez.
That's the worst. Halloween
Anybody
candy
gives
ever.
Candy corn for Halloween,
you should be...
Just turn all the lights off and lock the door. Yeah. And just don't participate.
I'm sorry, but I like candy corn.
Oh, you're disgusting.
I don't know why you guys don't like them. It's just sugar.
You can eat them, but they're just... Why? They're
sugar.
They almost taste bitter, though.
Bitter.
The texture makes it bitter.
Are you
even
sure you're
though
not eating like corns off of a toe or something?
There's too many other things that taste better. Let me put it that way.
Bitter.
The texture makes it taste bitter when it really isn't.
No, I think you're thinking of gritty and not bitter.
Princess, the way you worry about this.
Oh yeah, yeah, it might be a little gritty.
Caloric intake.
It might be a little gritty.
You of all people can say if you're gonna go that route and splurge on candy, there's so many better things than candy corn.
But if the wife and I go out and buy Halloween candy and there's some laying around that's left over, I'll eat it just for something sweet. Number 5, Starburst. Okay,
great candy.
Everything but the yellow. Number 4, I don't know how this isn't number 1. This list is a whole sham. But Reese's peanut butter cups. Has to be number 1.
They're outstanding.
Great candy.
How is it not number 1?
It's not number 1, but great candy.
It has to be number. What's number 1?
I don't know. Jolly Ranchers, for example.
Nick's
would be
got some. With-
what?
I would put Jolly Ranchers
you
over
You would eat a Jolly Ranchers over a Reese's peanut butter cup?
Absolutely.
Nick, you do know that there's peanut butter in a Reese's peanut butter
cup,
right?
How long have you been a communist?
No, I'm telling you, I'm not that big on Reese's Pieces. Or a Buttercup.
Man. I don't know.
I got to go with Barry on this one. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup's got to be right up at the top.
It can't be number one, though.
Yes.
Why not?
No. Well,
damn, no. Damn Jolly Rancher in number one.
It should
one.
Be up there. I'll put Starburst over.
I bet you'd have a Starburst over your number three you was,
on the list is Snickers.
That's Snickers.
Snickers is fantastic.
Okay. Number two, M&M's. I'm down.
I'm not.
No? M&M's guy?
Plain M&M's are crap.
I would replace this. Number one, I would move Reese's Cups to this and then add Reese's Pieces to this list.
I agree with that.
Because they're two different things.
Yep.
Number one, Skittles.
I'm okay with it.
Okay, no. Marshawn. No, thank you. No.
Yeah.
I'm okay with
they're
it.
They're good, but they're not great.
Yeah.
Reese's, the Peanut Butter Cups, great.
Pieces, great. The rest of this stuff,
not so good.
It's just okay. Think about that.
The buttercup is that, like, if they're not.
It's a peanut buttercup, not a buttercup.
Whatever.
A peanut buttercup.
My grandma just called. She wants
that list back. Packaging it right. It could be all damaged and melted by the time you get. It's not, no. It doesn't have a long shelf life.
His candy's been through some stuff. It's damaged and broken, and it really needs counseling.
What? I bet you like that bad Easter candy that's like eating like styrofoam or Play-Doh that has flavor to it too.
Uh huh. And by the way, one of my buddies, he mentioned the fact that basically Reese's has ruined the peanut butter cups when they came out with the Christmas trees and the hearts and the eggs because there's so much more peanut butter. It makes them so much better, and I have to agree with that. That's legit.
Nick, your dog agrees.
Oh,
see, that's
brought that
nice.
Back up again.
Yeah, I gotta let that go. That's on me. That's on me. I gotta do better.
You gotta do better.
That's on me. I gotta do better.
It's not your job.
Yeah, it's not my job.
All right,
I gotta do better, guys. All right, hey, it's been a Monday and it's been fun, and we've still got four more days to go in the week. So we look forward to doing this whole thing again, same time, same channel tomorrow. But until then, Fred, AJ, John, the Blitz, they're in studio. They're going to take you home till 7 o'clock. You don't have to do a thing. That's why we appreciate you guys supporting the station top to bottom all through the day. For Barry and Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.